I was seeing in the other room, Trinadapi Suni Chena Turodapi Sihishnana. Amani na manadena. Kirtaniya Siddhartha. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's direction. Super humility. Srila Sanatan Goswami also speaks of this in his Brihat Bhagavatamrita as being a requirement for getting the mercy of Krishna. Abject humility. And Sanatan Goswami himself exemplified that sort of humbleness. He was so humble that to go from crossing the, rather than cross past the main gate of the Jagannath temple, he would go the circuitous route on the sea beach, even though the sand was very hot, so that he wouldn't contaminate the pujaris by his presence. Prabhupada was once asked, are they just demonstrating for our benefit? Prabhupada said, they actually felt that way. It wasn't a show. He's actually feeling. Kaviraj Goswami also was saying, I'm lower than the worm in the stool. I'm more sinful than Jagannath. This doesn't come natural to us in the material world. In the material world, everyone has what they call self-esteem. And they're, even if they don't have a lot of self-esteem, then they try to build it up so that they have a greater sense of self-worth. Of course, the lack of self-esteem usually just takes the form of, what's the word, ineffectuality or just thinking I'm useless and therefore not doing anything. Which is another kind of foolishness. On the one side, I'm useless, what's the use of me? I might as well not do anything. That's the mode of ignorance. And on the other side, I'm so capable, I'm so... people even have little mantras they put on their bathroom mirrors and things. What's the word?
Affirmation.
Yeah, they're called affirmations, to hype themselves into thinking that I'm really good. I'm really hot stuff. And the more I think about it, the more it'll come true. That's another kind of illusion. If someone has some tiny capability, he thinks that he's wonderful. And he doesn't consider that this capability has come from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And at any time, it may be withdrawn. Arjuna was the greatest hero. The battlefield of Kurukshetra was described as being like an ocean full of timangil fish and dangerous aquatics. Warriors like Bhishma, Drona, many others. But Arjuna successfully crossed that ocean and defeated so many great heroes with his Gandiva bow. But after the disappearance of Krishna, Arjuna was defeated by a band of cowards. I'm the same Arjuna, I'm the same bow. And now I've been defeated by some coward. So he had to acknowledge that his prowess was given on loan by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then withdrawn at the when the Lord desired. So everyone's power is given in that way. Even Brahma, who has the power to engineer the entire universe, receives his power by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahma didn't know what to do. He required direction from the Lord, then he could understand what his mission was. So we also are getting direction from the Lord, either consciously or unknowingly. Even the atheist is being given direction by the Lord. Make this argument, make that argument. Or within, don't believe this, don't believe that. They're all fools. Someone wants the capability to remember, Krishna's giving the ability to remember. Someone's desiring to forget, Krishna's providing forgetfulness also. One can't even forget Krishna without Krishna's authority. We're thinking that we're something great. Actually, whatever is going on is done according to the power of the three modes of material nature. The whole world is going on like a play, and the living beings are like puppets, marionettes. Some illustration was there in some of our books showing how these people are acting. And above them are the three modes of nature who are manipulating them like marionettes on a string. So the whole world is going on like that. Someone's thinking, I'm president. Someone's thinking, I'll show them. Someone's thinking, Now I've lost everything. Another's thinking, now I'm on top of the heap. Now I'm this. Demons are thinking, so much money have I gotten, and I'll get more according to my schemes. I'm perfect, I'm powerful, I'm happy. I'm surrounded by aristocratic relatives. Who else is there like me? In this way, they're bewildered by ignorance. But even the person in the mode of goodness is bewildered. He's thinking, yes, I've studied so many interesting things, and I'm living very peacefully and following a sattvic diet, and so going on like that, and forgetting his ultimate purpose in life. He's thinking the purpose of life is just to live peacefully, read some interesting literature, maybe do some pious activities, and maybe even worship God, but without deep understanding. So he's also being conducted by the modes of material nature. Those who are worshipping the demigods, they're also conducted by the modes of nature. But ahankar vibhudhatma kartam iti manate, we think we're doing everything. Although Maya is doing everything through her potency. So, from Brahma down to the ant, Everyone is ruled by the actions and reactions of karma. But, and we're being, we're going about our little activities and then wiped out and then forced to take birth again and again wiped out and going our little round of activities and wiped out. And in each birth we think, this is a great thing. I'm thinking, this is my home, this is my wife, these are my children, this is my money, this is my job, this is my contribution. These are my rights. People are demonstrating, we want our rights. We demand our rights. And even politically, they're manipulated. Someone is benefiting from their activities. Often they don't know who. In Africa, it's like there's so many things going on. People want this, people want that, people are voting, people are demonstrating. But nothing is really in their hand. Even when they get so-called freedom, someone is profiting in the background. And I think, yes, we want our freedom. Freedom means that instead of one thief, now you've got another thief. That's all. Or instead of one thief, you have 10 thieves. Instead of a white thief, now you've got black thieves. Instead of foreign thieves, now you have domestic thieves. But it's your karma to be ruled by thieves. The thieves must be there, in spite of your great uprising. I was in Egypt a couple of years back when they were in the midst of demonstrating against Mubarak. Mubarak, yes. Demonstrating against Mubarak, and my student friends were all charged up. Now it's like a new dawn and a new, you know, they were going out to the square and throwing rocks and shouting slogans. Then the Mubarak is out, and then someone else is in. Then he's going to be out, then someone else is in. And meanwhile, all of these people thinking, we did this, we did that. It's not under their control. It's controlled by course, foreign intervention and foreign powers, but finally the most foreign powers, or the not foreign powers at all, the powers that rule this material world, the modes of material nature. And so people are bewildered, and they think they're going to get something different, and they get more of the same, like nature's arrangement. The person whose karma is to suffer will suffer, the person whose karma is to enjoy will enjoy. Later they'll switch places. This is all Maya's arrangement. But meanwhile we're thinking, Kartaham iti manyate. Even the great commanders, the Muchukunda, who was freed by Lord Krishna in connection with that from Kalyavana. And Kalyavana attacked Dwarka. Mathura Dwarka. Dwarka. Then Krishna apparently fled and was chased by this Kalyavana. And Krishna fled to a cave. And there the Kalyavana saw that there's Krishna's, now he's sleeping in the cave. I've worn him out. So he kicked Krishna. But it wasn't Krishna, it was this King Muchukunda, who'd been formerly fighting on behalf of the demigods, fighting so long that everything in his past life just melted away. His family was gone, everything was gone, because he spent his whole so much time fighting for the demigods. So finally the demigods were offered him a benediction, whatever you like. So I'm tired. I want to sleep. So they gave him the benediction, yes, you can sleep. And whoever untimely wakes you up, by your glance only, he'll be burned to ashes. So this Kalyavana kicked Muchukunda, woke him up. Muchukunda glanced at him, and that was it. So in this way, Krishna got rid of a Kalyavana, and also bestowed his blessings upon Muchukunda. The Lord appeared before him. And Muchukunda could understand that here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And offered nice prayers to the Lord. In the midst of those prayers, he mentioned that kings like me think ourselves the great rulers of the world. We go out on our horses and we conquer our enemies. He said, but then we come back to the palace and we have to fall at the feet of the queens for sense gratification. Big, big men. But then we surrender at the feet of the queens. Everyone is forced to surrender one way or another. Generally, like Muchukunda, they're surrendering at the feet of their queens. That attraction is there. Even Lord Shiva was bewildered by the Lord when the Lord assumed the form of Mohini Murti, a beautiful woman. And great men even are humiliated in a similar way. They're big, big men, but then they're embarrassed by being exposed in some degraded relationship. Because they may control governments, they may control this, but they, controlling their senses is a very difficult business for them. Then Adanta Gobir Vishadam Tamishra Puna Puna Sharvata Charvanana. They aren't trained how to control their senses, so they just chew the already chewed sense gratification. And this way they think we can enjoy it. I'm speaking too low, is that we've turned the fan off for that reason, I guess. Can you hear in the back? No. Okay. You can turn the fan back on because you'll need it, and I'll just work harder.
Should I switch on the AC, Maharaj?
Not for me.
That's just me switched off. That's just me switched off. But I'm just asking this in case.
Fan is comfortable, isn't it?
It's
nice. Fine. But it just means I have to talk louder because the fan is louder than I am. I'm sorry, I'm just standing. in soft mode here. Yeah, you can move in. So Lord Chaitanya says that one should be humble like the grass, more humble than the grass, Trinada api, Suni Chaina, more humble than the grass. The grass, everyone walks on the grass and the grass never complains. Hey, who do you think you are? Got no respect for nobody, you walking on me? The grass never protests. And Tururapi Sahishna. The tree is tolerates. People carve their initials into the tree's skin. People tear off the flowers, tear off the fruits, tear off the branches. And the trees never complain. But our tendency is to think, why are they down on me? Why aren't they giving me proper respect? I was on the airplane today, and the passenger in front of me leaned her seat all the way back. So it was, the seat can travel far enough so that your knees get squashed. So I said something to her. I wasn't really mean. But I was a little mean. I'm thinking, hey, you know, who do you think you are? It takes effort, actually, to counteract our sense of false prestige, probably. False prestige. And the whole world is busy trying to pump up our sense of false prestige. At the lower level, they want to persuade us that because we're black, or because we're Puerto Rican, or because we're Indian, or because we're not any of those, therefore we're very great. Pride. Black pride, Indian pride, gay pride. Proud to be degraded. Whatever we are, we're proud. And if we're rich, then there are all these commodities which have no other purpose than to enhance ourselves, our sense of greatness. If you look at cars in this country, every car is like a dream. And some are dreams of some of them are sporty. There are people who are paid big money to design a car in such a way that it psychologically profiles or appeals to a certain spirit. So there are the ones that are appealing to your sense of being sporty, the ones that are appealing to your sense of being thrifty. I'm very thrifty. I've got a car that saves money and that is soft on the environment. And yes, yes, yes. Then there are cars that are designed fat. You may have noticed they're deliberately chunky and you know, like corpulent, like a person who eats very, very well. If you look at them, you'll see they're certain brands of cars, that's how they're designed to be. A fat presence on the road. You're dealing with someone who's well established. You look at them, they're just deliberately fat. One way or another way, some sense of, especially rich, then the sense of false prestige gets all out of hand, and there are all sorts of flattery is employed to tell them how great they are, how wise they are. You've made a wise choice. Because you're who you are, we're giving you a special deal, which will entitle you to various privileges and distinctions.
Yes.
And in the mode of passion, a person does things simply for recognition. Wants his name on the building. Name on the plaque, name on this, name on that. But the material world is the world of names. Your name's on the building, but where are you? In a few years, the building will be there, but you'll no longer be there. What's the use? Your name's on the building. Prabhupada mentioned that, according to one astrologer, one great Indian politician had become one of the two dogs of a gentleman in Sweden. So his name is in the history books and so many things, but what's it to him? Of what value? When you've become a pet dog somewhere in Scandinavia, what's the use of having your name in the history books? And after some time, no one remembers, you know, who the name, the road is named after you, or the building is named after you. Colleges, the buildings were all named after somebody. And no one remembers who the guy was. Mm-hmm. And if they remember, so what? And after some time, even the remembrance is washed away, even the name is washed away, no one, it's all gone. Finally, Brahma goes to sleep. When he goes to sleep, it's all over. You're building your name, you're everything. Everyone's just sucked back into the body of the Lord. But we're temporarily thinking my name will be on the building. Kirti Yasya Sujivati, a person who is famous, lives forever. One American humorist, he said, I don't want to live forever through my children, or live forever by my name. I want to live forever by not dying. But no one has that good fortune, except for those who've surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hare Krishna. They can live forever. Of course, everyone lives forever, but forever bhutva bhutva praliyate, manifest and then washed away. So how proud should we be when we're like little floatsome jetsam on the water that's just carried here and there, and we think, I'm this, I'm that. But avasham prakatir, the whole material world is helpless. It's helplessly withdrawn into the body of the Lord, and then thrust out again, and then sucked in again. So, and we've been stuck here on account of our past misuse of independence. How great are we? How smart are we? If I'm so smart, what am I doing here? If I'm so intelligent, if I'm so great, what am I doing here in this dog's world? What am I doing in this place of birth and death? If I'm so pious, if I'm so intelligent, if I'm so discriminating, if I'm so powerful, I have a credit card, I think I'm powerful. Travel business class. Yes, Mr. Such and Such. No, Mr. Such and Such. Can I do something for you, Mr. Such and Such? Is there anything you need, Mr. Such and Such? Yeah, I need not to die. That's not possible because we're all prisoners. On account of our criminal background. If I'm not a criminal, what am I doing here? So, but we're proud that I'm a good man. I'm so good, what am I doing here? So Lord Chaitanya says that one should be very humble. Trinadapi sunichena turanapi sahishnuna and namanina. Not expecting mana, regard, honor. Not expecting to be honored. That yes. People really want it to be honored. There's probably so someone wants to be sir, to be knighted by the queen. Be honored this way, honored that way. If you want to get something out of someone, then you flatter him. But, and we're all so susceptible. Oh, really? You noticed. But Amanina, or Chaitanya, recommends, and we see in the life of Lord Chaitanya, again Sanatan Goswami, when he gave up his family life or gave up his government position, he took the role of a mendicant and met Lord Chaitanya at Benares or Prayag? Benares. I think so. Sometimes they Prayag, sometimes Benares, but I think Benares. Yeah, because those two devotees were there. Tapan Mishra and one other. Chandrasekhar. They were stuck actually in Varanasi. Wherever you go. Namo Narayan. Om Tat Sat. Om. Everything, all Mayavadis. Benares is like Vrindavan for the Mayavadis. As the devotees like to go to Vrindavan so that they can think of Krishna, the Mayavadis especially like to congregate in Varanasi, where everything is one. So they were actually very unhappy there, Topan Mishra and Chandrasekhar, because they were, every place where we go, everyone is Tatvamasi, you're also God, I'm also God. And in one sense, they were considered deified devotees because they didn't know how to defeat those arguments. Or from another angle of vision, they were great devotees. They got the personal association of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in Varanasi, everyone's thinking that's the ultimate false prestige. Mm-hmm. To think that I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how much more puffed up. Someone's thinking I'm a silver card holder, someone's thinking I'm a platinum card holder, and someone is thinking I'm the Supreme Absolute Truth. Everyone else is an illusion. But I've realized that I'm the Supreme Absolute Truth. How much illusion does he have to be in to think that? So that's the last snare of Maya. He's no longer interested in the gold card, he's no longer interested in the platinum card. He wants the ultimate card, the ultimate master card. He wants to be the master of everything. So Sanatana Goswami went there, and along the way he'd met his brother-in-law who'd given him a nice chadar. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Topan Mishra, Chandrasekhar, some mendicant is at the door, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the super soul, he knew. He said, actually told some great devotee is there at the door. So they looked, they said, no, nobody's here, just some fakir, some Muslim guy is out there, Muslim mendicant. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw him, Sanatana Goswami, great devotee, embraced him. But he looked a little critically at that nice Lalamni chatter that you've got there. Didn't say anything, but Sanatana Goswami could understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't approve. I've taken the renounced order of life and I've got these fancy chatter. So he went to the bathing ghat and he offered to some mendicant that you let me have your chatter and I'll give you this one. Man thought, this guy is teasing me. No, it's for real. You take this one, I'll take that one. Mm. Then when he came back to saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was pleased, yes. Now you're situated. Rup, Sanatan, Raghunath, those Goswami, they were powerful men. Shesha Mandala Patishrini. Mm. Big power means who you know. You can pick up the phone and call somebody and your work is done. They were like that. They were the prime minister of the government. Everybody wants favors from him. Everybody, yes sir, yes sir. Not to lick his boots. And they're connected with the most powerful people. most influential, capable people. Peer. But they gave it up. Chaktva turnamashesham anupitishayam. Sarat tuchchavat, as if it were nothing. Bhutva dina ganesha ko akurniya ko pina kuntash. And they accepted just the dress of beggars. Kanta means you take some discarded rags to stitch them together. And that's your jhana. But it wasn't just there. It was purposeful. Dina Ganesha Ko Kuruniyala, to show mercy to the fallen souls. They weren't just interested in their own liberation. Their concern was for others. Sanatana Goswami wrote so many books. It wasn't for getting tenure at a university. It was to contribute something for the welfare of others. Everything, their whole life, was dedicated in that way for the service of others. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, big man, magistrate. At that time, for an Indian to have hold the post of magistrate under the British government was big deal. But he was going house to house, begging to build a temple for Mahaprabhu Mayapur. There was some, who was that in Vrindavan? Temple is there, what is that called? Maybe Sriji maybe get that from some very wealthy merchant. They became Vaishnav, went to Vrindavan and was living in, like a beggar. Begging from the homes of former enemies. And when you beg, people say no. Some people may say yes, but people say, get out of here. No, 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 no. Thank you, no. Don't bother me. People may be rude even, or just politely dismissive. So, to distribute Krishna consciousness, one has to be humble. And the Goswamis took up that mission. In spite of being very powerful men, they became beggars. And monading, they were giving respect to others. And who's that? Bodhananda Saraswati. You know that verse? It says that I'm taking a straw between my teeth and I'm glorifying you and as being a great man. Hey sadhava, you're great. Saintly person, so qualified. And give up all your nonsense and give your attention to the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But that was Prabhupada's program also. He was a respectable person, business, family. He came to America as a beggar. no money, no place to stay, no supporters, nothing. Bhutva Dina Ganesha Pavakurini. To give Krishna consciousness. Gopi Bharata Padakamalaya Dasa Dasa. My real identity is that I'm servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. Everyone wants to be master of the master of the master. But Gopi Bharata Padakamalaya Dasa Dasa. Servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. Then Kirtaniya Siddhadi. In that mood, when one can go on chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And try to do good for others. Then Krishna becomes pleased. Machatas man manusheshu Krishna me priyakrittama. Okay, maybe we'll stop here, see if there's some questions. Yes, that looks like a hand looking for a question. You speak more softly than I do.
In our philosophy, we explain the principle of Yukta Vairagya. And the little that I understand is the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, their absorption in devotional service was so deep that whether they had material opulence or not, it did not matter. In the sense that, I guess the sentence is statement explains itself. And it's also said that the followers of Lord Chaitanya thrived on the principles of knowledge and renunciation. At the same time, these two principles are not included in the 64 items offered by Sri Rupa Goswami as something which should be cultivated independently. And at our level, when we have more attachment to enjoy what we have,
Anukulyena Krishnanushilina. That there's nothing specific among the 64 items regarding Yukta Vairagya, but Anukulyasya Sankalpa, Pratikulyasya Vajra. These are the two main items. To accept everything favorable for Krishna's service and to reject everything unfavorable for Krishna's service. Sarva vidhi nishedha syu etayor eva kinkara. Every other principle is a servant of these two principles. Smartavyam satadam Vishnu vismartavyam vajatuchya. Always remember Vishnu, never forget Vishnu. These are the two main things. And that means always serving Krishna. The main thing is not, in the Mayavadi school, renunciation is practically an end in itself. But they're so renounced that they renounce Krishna. But Lord Chaitanya's teaching is to focus on the service of Krishna. then Janayati Yashu Vairagyam Jnanam Shari Yavahaitakam, then renunciation automatically follows. Which it should. Not that Bhukta Vairagya.
Mm-hmm.
That it's like a slogan, Yukta Vairagya, but under the under that slogan I accumulate more and more and make a program for my own prosperity and enjoyment. Therefore, in householder life, Prabhupada's stressing that half your money you should give away. This appears unreasonable. I work so hard. And I'm supposed to give half my money away? And if I give half my money away, how much will I have? But that's actually a concession, because Krishna says, give everything. But by that sacrifice, the householder life becomes purified. And I think that I'm the servant of Krishna. Therefore, this is my duty. And at the same time, one is relieved of so much junk, unnecessary necessities, and false sense of greatness. And at the same time, the followers of Chaitanya, they used everything for Krishna. Not that we're so proud that we won't touch this, we won't touch that, we won't touch money. Prabhupada said, the Mayavadis, there's some Mayavadi, he was famous, that if you even offered him money, his hand would automatically go like this, like behind his back. Prabhupada said, you offer me money, my hand goes like this. But not for sense gratification, simply for Krishna's service. So in householder life, some necessity is there, and we are advised to employ everything for Krishna so that it becomes purified. And in the mature stage, we're advised to leave householder life. These things are, in householder life, there are so many duties to perform, and one should do it. But in the mature stage, the duty is to detach oneself from householder life. Because that attachment is so great, and that one is advised, no, in the mature stage, give it up. First vanaprastha ashram, and sannyasa ashram. Don't stay buried in householder life till the end, till you're like a little quivering invalid. Get out.
I heard, you know, it's really inspired this because this attachment is generate within us, you know, frustration. Well, the characteristic of this material world, you know, frustration. So when the knowledge comes, you know, that we have to just accept the Lord's the supreme controller, you know. When we heard from the devotees that is the line to follow, the Mahaprabhu teachings, well, we feel inspired. But in particular case, I heard even Srila Bhaktivedanta Saraswati, he has a car in Vrindavan.
Mm.
And remembering a bit, you know, what the devotees say, even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had said, kind of, at that time was no common, except, you know, like the orange clothes, because the Vaishnavas was, you know, sometimes they don't, people when they see Vaishnava humble or something like that, they really don't accept. But for preaching, sometimes we have to accept, something.
For that purpose, Prabhupada Ayagiriraj Swami, he's not very attached to any material consideration. And therefore he would dress just, you know, whatever came his way, not give much attention. Prabhupada said, please dress nicely just for me. Because for preaching we have to make some impression. Prabhupada quoted the proverb, first dress, then address. So this gentleman also, I had to tell him this morning. This is his decent bead bag. You should have seen the one we threw away this morning.
Maharaj, but I'm not referring just to dress, because that is, you know, external. But sometimes we are productive. I, as you know, traveling sometimes in India, I saw there is not enough service, you know, just
not
garden
enough.
Service for me in India. So, you know, just fix the garden or something, clean. But sometimes here, I hear even Sri Aurobindo Saraswati say, go to places where really need, you know. I saw the devotees the last weekend in the festival, one festival here. I was, you know, remember that sometimes devotees have to really act where really it's necessary. I'm not just saying, you know, just the clothes or just external, but what would be the advice to really, you know, to continue with the same enthusiasm if, like was for us, but for Krishna. You know, because on the, okay, for Krishna, just renounce.
You
but
do.
How we can continue with this, the same enthusiasm, like,
by
to
serving.
Serve Gurudev.
Of course, all these things are there, by association especially. Enthusiasm is enhanced. And by doing it. When you serve Krishna, tadami buddhi yogamta, he'll give you intelligence, he'll give you some enthusiasm that yes, that felt good. Yes, you know, you underwent some austerity. You did some preaching. You spent your time in his service, reading or chanting. And Krishna will give you some. That was good, wasn't it? And you feel that was good. Let me do some more. But Krishna himself will encourage us from within. Yes. And externally also, when we're in the association of materialists, they'll try to discourage us. What are you wasting your life for? But when we associate with devotees, they'll encourage us. Very good. So, therefore, we're advised to associate with the devotees only, because they'll encourage us. Odiyanta parasparam.
One of the six loving exchanges is revealing one's mind in confidence and inquiring confidentially.
Mm.
How do we select an appropriate person to reveal our mind in confidence to?
Careful. Everything is to be done with discrimination. Reveal your mind in confidence to a Mayavadi, to a materialist, or to a person who's not confidential, then you won't get the desired result. You may get the opposite result. Next thing you know, it's published on Facebook. So, generally, just in practical affairs, we test. we do that, you know. I give you a little money, I get paid back. I give you a little more money, I get paid back. The banks all do that. And they don't just say, you don't apply to them. I say, I need $10,000. Okay, we'll try you out. And they give you a little loan, they give you another loan. You pay back, you develop a credit history. And yes, this man is trustworthy. We do the same thing in our personal affairs. We entrust someone with some responsibility, or we trust someone to keep a secret. And if they do it, then we give them more trust. Otherwise, someone may wipe out his whole credit. There are things that we can do in personal relationships that diminish our credit or put us in negative balance, violating confidentiality. That's a big one. And there are people who do it. They can't keep their mouth shut. There was one devotee, Satsrut Maharaj's party. He was like that. The saying was on the party, tell a phone, tell a woman, tell such and such. Everybody knew that whatever you told him, it would be everywhere for the next day. So it requires discrimination to see who we trust, who has the quality of being trustworthy, of being confidential.
Thank you, Maharaj. So I have this question. Those of us took initiation, at the time of initiation, we take vows, no meditating, no intoxication. So when we take in front of five sacrifices and devotees and spiritual master and deities, so are they promising for both the gross and subtle vows? Is for both the gross and subtle, only gross? For example, after taking initiation, after a long some time, I may not be eating the meat, I may not be drinking the liquor, but actually the subtle aspect of it.
At least gross.
Okay.
I've made a vow that I won't eat meat. So sometimes I may think something, that fish preparation seems very nice. Or I could get more done with, you know, a cup of coffee. But one has to remember, no, I've taken a vow. So at least on the gross platform, one should strictly follow that I've promised. And as far as possible on the subtle platform also. Mityachara Suchite. That I've promised no illicit sex, but my mind is having affairs with every woman I see. So one should try to control the mind also, not just control the outward activities. If we don't control the mind, then controlling the physical activities also becomes sometimes a challenge. As we're thinking of it, then the next thing is, that's described in Indriyani Mano Buddhir Asyadhishtana Muchate Teyarbi Mahoyachyesha. Something Dehina. Is my book in here? No, the little red book. May not be, it may be on the ledge over there. That is okay. Vimohayachyesha, something Dehina. Gyanam avrichadehina. This is the description of how lust acts. Indriyani mano buddhir asya adishtanam uchite. Lust takes up headquarters in these places. in the senses, in the mind, and in the intelligence. The senses are demanding, we want this, we want this. And mano, the mind is thinking. And buddhi, then the intelligence becomes engaged. What do I have to do to get this? What do I have to say? How do I go about it? Prabhupada gave the example that the cat is very intelligent. A man is keeping a cat, and there's some milk sitting on the table. So the cat is intelligent. The cat knows if I jump up and get the milk, I'll be chased away. So the cat waits till you leave the room, then jumps up and gets the milk. So that's intelligence. But is intelligence directed towards sense gratification? So practically speaking, the whole material world is going on like that. There are people with frighteningly astute intelligence, amazing intelligence. But the intelligence is directed towards sense gratification. Even now, like, you get these people born in Brahmin families, South Indian Brahmins, and they've got brains coming out of their ears, so intelligent. And formerly, in their family tradition, they would be worshipping the deity, they would be scholars, they would be pujaris. And now they're computer programmers. Because by writing computer programs, I'll get money. And then with the money, I can do this, I can do that, all like Western standard sense gratification. So the intelligence is there, but the intelligence has been commandeered by the enemy forces. So the intelligence is working against us. You're intelligent. What are you wasting your time at this temple for? You could be earning big money. And then when you get money, you could have women, you can have a big car, you can have this, you can have that. Indriyani mano buddhir asya dishtanam uchyate tiyor vimohayatyesha. Through those channels, the lust bewilders the living entity. We're betrayed by our own senses, by our own minds, by our own intelligence, because impure. Gyanam avritadehinam, our real knowledge is covered. Elsewhere it said, Gyanino Nityavairina. Gyanina means a person who has knowledge. So the soul is called Gyanina, knowledgeable living entity. But Gyanino Nityavairina, this knowledgeable living entity has his knowledge covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lusty desire. Therefore, tasmat tvam indriyani adolaniyam yadvaritarsham papmanam prajahi henam jnana vijnana nashanam. From the very beginning, one should control the mind, the senses, by the intelligence. And the intelligence should be controlled by Krishna consciousness. Therefore, one is advised to become the menial servant of the spiritual master, not to become a big man. Even if one is a big man, still he becomes the menial servant of the spiritual master, so that he'll be under, his intelligence will be in obedience to Krishna. Jnana vijnana nashanam. Otherwise, lust kills. Knowledge, self-realization, everything. Buddhi nashat pranashati, then we're finished. So from the very beginning, ado, niyamya, control of the mind should be there, control of the senses. If we're advised, kirtaniya sadahari, how will we control the mind? The mind is mano durnigraham chalam. It's practically uncontrollable. But abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena tu grihi, it's possible by suitable means. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us those, that suitable means. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Hare
Rama.
So the spiritual master doesn't just say, follow these four regulative principles, but chant Hare Krishna. And avoid 10 offenses while chanting Hare Krishna. So there's four negative instructions, and then there's this positive instruction. Well, if I'm not going to eat meat, if I'm not going to have a licit sex, what am I going to do? Chant Hare Krishna.
So we're trying to follow four gross principles, but at the same time trying to also aspire to follow the subtle principles. So that is not breaking the vows of spiritual master.
No. We haven't vowed, I won't even think of sex. I'll never think of tea. I won't do it. So it's not breaking the rules. Breaking the rules means you do the thing. But it's wise that if I'm going to follow these rules, then I should follow them internally also. So that my, my consciousness will be purified. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Kuri Aika Arna Kuri Mani Asha. Krishna consciousness means consciousness finally. Otherwise, if I just follow these rules, how will I follow if I'm not Krishna conscious? Finally, it will be very difficult. Or I'm following, but I'm unhappy. By force only, I'm following. But when one rasovarjam rasopyasya param drishva nivartate, he gets a taste for chanting Hare Krishna. Just like Haridas Thakur, a young, beautiful prostitute came to him in the middle of the night. You're so young, you're so handsome. I'm dying to be with you. Yes, that's all right. Just let me finish my rounds. How is it possible? How much taste he must have been getting from chanting Hare Krishna. Rupa Goswami said, I don't know how much nectar there is in these two holy names of Krishna. Unlimited nectar. So that's the real thing, to get a taste for chanting Hare Krishna, hearing about Krishna, serving Krishna. Then these other things become, it's like we get a taste for prasadam, we don't think, I wish I could have a this, I wish I could have a that. Because we have, what we have is so much better. So on all these, on all fronts, as we become engaged in Krishna's service, then these other things should be automatically diminished. And if it's not automatic, then we should think that I have to chant more seriously.
Along the same lines, like when you have certain situations in life where you are forced to, by when you are going to work or any other places, you are put into an environment where you are
sense gratification, everything is there.
Sense gratification is?
Is present there, and then you cannot avoid it too. How to understand certain situations and stay kind of awake or from that?
Sense gratification can't be avoided?
No, you're forced to be there. Then automatically your senses get
dragged. You're there, but you're a different person. One of my... The head of our African BBT was working at a very high position in the South African government.
Mm-hmm.
So he used to go to attend intergovernmental energy conferences and negotiations and so on. So, but he would stick by his principles. So, you know, they have, he went to Saudi Arabia. So they had a big, you know, reception naturally for all the dignitaries, and they're serving all rubbish. And he's asking for a salad. So the prince, who was the host, said, "You know what? You know what's going on." So he said, "Well, you know, I'm a vegetarian." So then the next day, the prince arranged, he found a, you know, Brahmin cook and, you know, and the prince turned out to be very interested in the philosophy, you know, that, you know, what makes this guy tick. So he got a good chance for preaching and everything. You know, at work, they all tell you what they're interested in. You know, whether it's sports or whether it's this or whether it's that. So you can tell them what you're interested in. That's the American way of life. Everyone's an individual. Everyone has his own choices. Everyone's, you know, we're all multicultural, big melting pot. So you can throw Krishna consciousness into the pot, you know. They talk about what they're interested in. We can talk about where what we're interested in. Have books for them, have prasadam for them. It should go the other way. Instead of their influencing us, we should influence them. If we influence even one person, then it's a great victory. And why not? What they have is rubbish.
Yes.
Their food is rubbish. Their philosophy is rubbish. Their way of life is rubbish. But we can give them something better. And Prabhupada told that story about the men in the British Raj. The workers were coming to work, you know, traditional, coming with their tilak. And the it was Muslim guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Muslim guy. He said, you know, from tomorrow, no more tilak. You know, anyone who comes, you know, you're fired, you're finished. So the next day, you know, everybody showed up with no tilak, except one guy. He wouldn't compromise. So the man said, okay, the rest of you can't wear tilak, but he can wear tilak.
Talking about humility, but there are some devotees who have a kshatriya nature, and kshatriyas like Arjun, they are also pure devotees, and somebody would tell Arjun that you put aside your kandi, then he would not spare somebody's life, like he had that. So how do we understand that Some devotees might have a kshatriya nature, and kshatriya nature is more like to react to than to tolerate. And
but
so
he's considers himself servants of the Brahmin. He may take the position of commanding as a matter of duty, but he's very subservient to the Brahmins, to the Lord. And he commands as a matter of duty. Brahma asked that question. Lord Brahma, more than Kshatriya, he's, you know, master engineer of the whole universe. And many times in the Bhagavatam, he's essentially asking the same question. How do I do this and not become entangled? First of all, I'm going to be dealing with all these low-grade living entities that I have to give bodies to. And second of all, I'm going to be Brahma. I'm going to be a person who does everything. Brahma yesha jagadanda vidhana karta. So how do I not get entangled? Essentially, the Lord answers, you have to be Krishna conscious. And even while you're doing the work of Brahma, what to speak of a kshatriya? Then that's a matter of humility, that I have to do this because it's my duty. And I have to remember that I'm serving Krishna. In what place was that? Tiruvananthapuram. Famous, the king who, I believe the king who established the temple, or maybe he was a later king, he came one day to the temple with all of his officials. He put his sword before the deity on the altar and announced that the whole kingdom belongs to the deity. And then he took back his sword and he ruled the kingdom on behalf of the Lord. So in that way, I may be the king of the whole district, but actually the king is the Lord. Bharat, he was ruling the kingdom, but on behalf of Lord Ramchandra. So the king was ruling that way, that actually the kingdom belongs to the deity, but on behalf of the deity. Prabhupada also, he could be very unhumble. He wasn't humble to Mr. Nair in Bombay. He was in some ways, but he was, you know, not, oh, okay, whatever you say. He wasn't milk toast, as they say. He was strong. He wasn't humble to the Mayavadis. Okay, you have your philosophy, I have my philosophy. And Prabhupada was like a lion, but for Krishna. Everything is purified and done for Krishna. Shudra also, what's his job? It's not a very nice business just doing whatever people tell me. Sometimes what they tell you may not be very good. But he's thinking, I'm servant of Krishna. Yata pravittir bhutanam yena sarvam idam tatam. Svakarmana tamabhyarcha siddhim vindati manava. Everyone can become perfect. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Everybody's duty has some fault in it. Vaishya has to tell some lies and is always looking to make some profit. Kshatriya is always take charge. And the Brahmin is involved with all sorts of head work. But everyone becomes purified and everyone can attain perfection by serving Krishna according to his prescribed duty. That's humble. And Arjuna wanted to leave the battlefield. Krishna didn't say, oh good, you're humble. Get back out there. coward.
No, but like somebody personally insults us, Kshatriya would become very, very, like, if he's insulted, he would like be very violent. So if, how does, like, you know, is, because we are said, don't expect any respect for yourself and give all respect to others. So,
so better, when Krishna is insulted, let, you can insult me however you like, you can't insult Krishna. Kshatriya can use his that tendency that way. Not take it that I've, what's the word? A certificate that when anybody says a word to me, I can bark at him because I'm a Kshatriya. But Krishna's interests I'll defend to the death. Therefore, Vaishnava is better than Kshatriya. Kshatriya is in the mode of passion. Vaishya is in passion and ignorance, Shudra is in ignorance, Brahma is in goodness. Nistraguna of Arjuna, the Lord advised Arjuna, don't be ruled by these three modes of nature. Nirvanvo, Nichasatvasto, Yoga, Kshem, Atma. Come to the transcendental. Otherwise, what are we doing? Krishna consciousness is not just to teach us how to act according to Varnashram, how to be a good Kshatriya, how to be a good husband or wife, how to be a good Brahmachari, how to be a good sannyasi. How to be Krishna's servant.
Be a Vaishnava Kshatriya.
Yeah, Vaishnava Kshatriya, but Vaishnava Kshatriya is not less concerned that you stepped on my false prestige. You can't insult Krishna. Like Prabhupada, he was fighting. Practically his whole career was fighting. Fighting the Mayavadis, fighting the materialists, fighting the scientists, fighting the false philanthropists, fighting. The whole thing was fighting. But what about being humble? He's fighting for Krishna.
Yeah, they did accuse Prabhupada one time.
Mm-hmm.
One time they accused Prabhupada about the Bhagavad Gita. And then Prabhupada said, my humility, and then they said he's not humble. Then he said, my humility is how they give Bhagavad Gita as it is.
Mm-hmm.
You guys want to change it.
Therefore, Kirtani is Sadahari, so that we'll be on that Nistraguna Pavarjan, transcendental platform. Kirtani is Sadahari. Hmm.
Well, I have one more question. Actually, it's been there for a long time. This is from Mahabharata. You know, when Abhimanyu was killed by six warriors from the Kaurava side, one of the warriors was a Krutavarma. Krutavarma is one of the six Sarvas. The same Krutavarma before lives in the Dwaraka, taught Abhimanyu, is like an uncle for him. So he was very relative and out of love. There was a lot of affection for both the dynasty. So now he was somehow ended up in Kaurava side and he was residing with Riyodhana and he was part of it. So that was bewildering me, like, so how come he's a devotee and he also knows him, but he was also...
Kritavarma, Bhishma?
Bhishma was actually not, like, you know, was a cheating way in killing, because he was a very straightforward Bhishma or Drona. They never cheated, but these six people...
But they stood and watched. They were also implicated, they were also involved.
Yeah.
Bhishma, Drona... Karna was a very honorable person. He also passionate business war.
Like easy following the orders of the Yodhan, because he was helpless to do that.
You know, I'm not a great Mahabharata scholar, but he was implicated.
Mm.
When you serve someone, you become contaminated.
Mm.
That's mentioned in, because the same, was it the same Kritavarma who was involved in the Shamantak jewel business?
Yeah.
It's mentioned that he and Akrur also,
yeah,
they're contaminated by association.
Mm.
When we associate with someone, we can become contaminated. So that happened. Duryodhana was such corrosive association.
Maharaj, I have a question.
Mm.
In a world where the bhakti is deteriorating,
hmm?
The bhakti or the devotions is reducing day by day, deteriorating, right? What is a solution for the world, for the people?
Oh, for the world.
For the people, for the world.
Well, where it's deteriorating, then we have to not let it deteriorate. Of course, one solution, the world will never be solved. The world is hopeless. It will be finished. But at least for some time, we can do good for others. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Maybe it will go down. But as it goes down, we'll send out our rescue parties. There's some, they have these natural disasters. Natural disaster means, you know, 10 million people will be killed or whatever it is. But if the rescue party can save 10 people, 20 people, they consider it worth doing. Saving the world, how will the world be saved? And this is only one world, there's so many. But if we can rescue even one person, Prabhupada said, if I can bring one person to become a pure devotee, I'll consider the whole thing successful. And so we have our, you know, Maya has her weapons, we have our weapons. Harinam, and these books, Prabhupada considered them the most powerful weapon for fighting against Maya's army. The book should be distributed more and more and more and more and more. A very powerful methods.
You said Taror Iva Sahishnuna,
mm.
But to become a tree is like bad karma in
mm.
one sense.
Because the trees, to become a tree is bad karma, but the trees are also glorious. Lord Balaram was strolling with Krishna, and Krishna was praising the trees.
Hmm.
That they're all great sages, they're bowing down to touch your lotus feet. And he's glorifying that the trees live for the benefit of others.
But they're forced to be in that situation.
Maybe. But looked at from another point of view, everyone's forced to do anything. You know, philanthropist is forced to be a philanthropist by the modes of nature. It's still, we don't say, well, he was forced to be a philanthropist. Don't give him any credit. We give credit. So Krishna's praising the trees. The trees are very humble. They're bowing down to touch your lotus feet. They're very magnanimous. They provide so many necessities, they provide shade, they provide fruits, they provide flowers, even they give their bodies as wood. And they never complain. They never protest if they're abused. So they're like great saintly persons. And Krishna was praising the trees. It's like we praise the ant. The ant is very industrious.
Mm.
Yes.
So we and tell children, see how the ants are always busy, see how they're always working. So we praise the ant. The ant is also the dog. See how the dog is faithful. From another point of view, dog is forced to be faithful. The ant is forced to be industrious. Everyone is forced to do everything they're doing. But from another angle, we're appreciating.
Maharaj,
yes.
You mentioned that when Brahma goes to sleep, everything is merged in the body of Krishna. So I thought that happens when Brahma dies.
Yeah, there's two dissolutions. Partial dissolution at the end of Brahma's day, and then there's total dissolution at the end of Brahma's life. So let's see. At the end of the day, where does everyone go? I think they're also... Again, merged in Mahavishnu. But only from the middle planets downward. The sages and so on. They're still around.
So when Brahma goes to sleep, only the hellish planets and the earthly planets merge in the body of Vishnu.
Seems to me that the Bhagavad Gita is described in the 8th chapter. Seems to me that's how it is.
If I remember, it's the top three, Satya, Jana, Tapa.
Yeah.
Those three are exempted.
They stay,
yeah.
Otherwise, where did they all go? It seems to me they merge into the body of the Lord and then they come out. I think if you look in 8th chapter, you'll find probably the same thing. Okay, shall we? Any other questions? Stop here. Yeah, we can stop here. It's getting late. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Glories to Shiva Krishna. And tomorrow's Ekadasi. We can chant more.